Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Earth Day 2021 for Disney Plus will be the springboard for Secrets of the Whales, a miniseries about what makes these creatures of the water world tick. Co-executive producer Shannon Maloney of Benedictus joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Generation Z Latinos have a new destination to enjoy their own kind of pop culture, Latino music from Me Too. More on this TuneNet from Me Too president Stephen Brooks later this hour. Also ahead, a Shark Tank bets new TV arena, Here Come the Unicorn Hunters, Apple TV Plus's JT, figure it out for yourself, project, our classic trivia question, and farewell, my Nana Earth. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker and Tuner Radio, and presented on Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us this Friday afternoon, wrapping up your week with a program all about TV's current and future. 56 degrees at the top of the hour. Delighted to have you aboard. Two great guests coming your way in the 60 minutes ahead. And we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. So simple. Give us a call and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio. And we've got our chat room ready for you as well. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find that at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's all set and waiting for you. And while the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your blog, talk, speaker, tune in, screen, follow the instructions of Disney Live with you. From Secrets of the Whales, Shannon Maloney to Benedictus joins us live from Alexandria, Virginia, outside D.C., after these news notes. One of Shark Tank's top sharks is placing a bet on a new television venture. Kevin Harrington, who has been on Shark Tank's Investor Assembly from the series' ABC debut in 2009, has accepted a strategic partnership with American Stories Entertainment. The company wants to launch a service with unscripted competition, lifestyle, and aspirational series, one of which, American Dreams, Harrington will host. American Stories website notes the service will be built on, and I'm quoting, traditional values and family-oriented content, unquote, serving audiences between the East and West Coast. The venture will hold an investor webinar in prime time next Wednesday with more details on all aspects of the service to be disclosed. Fame game show creator and host Chuck Barris and his controversial memoir, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, could be an upcoming series subject at Apple TV+. Justin Timberlake, that's the JT we talked about in the tease, has agreed to play Barris in a proposed hour series developed from Confessions. If this goes into production, it would be Timberlake's second Apple TV+ collaboration, the first being original movie Palmer, which premiered this past January. Miramax and Paramount TV are reportedly set to co-produce the Barris biodrama, and in case you don't know, Chuck Barris was the brain behind The Dating Game, The Newlywed Game, Three's the Crowd, The Gong Show, etc. The mastermind behind The Masked Singer and Fox spinoff The Masked Dancer is turning to a new arena, building companies. Craig Prestis' Smartell Media will bring Unicorn Hunters to TV May 10th through Amazon Prime, YouTube, and possibly Facebook Watch. Viewers will have the chance to financially support businesses showcased before a panel of wealth formulators. Now some quickies. HBO Max is going forward with The Real Magic Mike, a competition series co-executive produced by Steven Soderbergh and Channing Tatum. Look for The 39 Steps, the famous Alfred Hitchcock movie, to be remade as a Netflix miniseries starring Benedict Cumberbatch. At least 6-hour-long episodes are planned. And a quick up or update on Monday's episode with America's Most Wanted showrunner John Farrakhan. Fugitives Allison Gracie and Christopher Jones, who were profiled in AMW Monday Night on the Fox, have been found and arrested in Madrid. The final episode of AMW's current run on Fox will be next Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific time as well. And that is news notes for today. When Earth Day rolls around, as it will on Thursday, April 22nd, you can always bet there'll be a wide variety of programs dealing with the environment. One of the most unique this time around will be from Disney Plus to the folks at National Geographic. It's called Secrets of the Whales, and it deals with a very unique group of species in that whale category. My first guest today is the co-executive producer of the program. She also is involved with her own production company, Red Rock Film. Joining us live from Alexandria, Virginia, outside Washington, D.C., Shannon Maloney de Benedictus. Shannon, welcome in.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So how did this program with Disney Plus come about?
This has been a 3-year journey that we've had. We've produced a lot of work for National Geographic at Red Rock Films, and Brian Scarry has been working on whales and whale culture for many years. And Brian went to National Geographic and said, you know, I think this could be a really good documentary. And National Geographic, to their credit, said, you know what, I think this would be a really good 4-part series. So they brought in my colleague Brian Armstrong and said, what do you guys think you can make of this? And very quickly we saw that this is it's just an extraordinary story about whales and the type of culture and family units they have around the globe. And so we partnered with Brian Scarry and worked with him and put together 350 hours of footage and came up with 4 amazing shows about 5 different whale species and how they exist on our planet.
How much of the series did you know you were going to do going in? And how much of the series, particularly, for example, which of the 5 whale species you cover came out of shooting all that footage?
You know, we went in knowing that we were going to film 5 whales. We had narrowed it down, looking at the different behaviors and talking to scientists of what whale species were going to be the ones that could best reflect this groundbreaking science that whales have cultural attributes that are very similar to humans. You know, they love, they work together, they take care of their young together, they do all these different types of things. And initially, we were thinking that it would be 5 episodes, but, you know, whales, despite their huge size, they're really, really hard to find. They're just not easy to find. And so particularly with the narwhal, we said, you know, we love the narwhal, we think the narwhal is great, but there was just no possible way we could make that into a standalone show to profile them. And, we ended up partnering them as Arctic buddies with the beluga whale. So we were pretty decided on the 5 whales that we were going to profile in these 4 episodes.
Mm-hmm. What about the existence of whales or these particular species of whales did you want to show the most with this series?
You know, I think that, you know, we've all seen whales. We know about them. We've seen them through different, you know, whether it's cartoons or we've seen them in old movies. But they're still always felt an arm's length away. They felt like they're these just distant giants. And what we've found through research, but also in the filmmaking we did, the time we spent with them, is that they have complex emotions. They have really strong family bonds. And I think in making these films, you know, we went into it excited of what it could possibly be. We were excited to show a sperm whale and orca as being much more complex than just something we go on a whale, you know, sightseeing trip, you know, to show them as who they are and how they're close to us. And as we got out there and we were able to film more and more and connect with these pods and see these different family units, it just became a revelation because they have so much in common with our family units and our community and how we connect to each other that it was just incredible.
We're talking about Secret of the Whales. It's Disney Plus's special Earth Day presentation put together with the help of National Geographic and also someone else that we'll get into in a few minutes. And we're talking with the co-executive producer of the program from Red Rock Films, Shannon Malone DeBenedictis. She's joining us live this half hour from Alexandria, Virginia, outside Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. This half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, I'm going to have fun with you live from New York. Right, delighted to have you with us. 56 degrees at the top of the hour, by the way. If you have a question or comment for Shannon, don't be shy. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. If you're a fan of programming on services like Netflix, Disney+, Hulu, Amazon, et cetera, do you want to see all those shows you like in one place rather than hopscotch from service to service? Well, there's an organization that may allow you to do just that. It's called Screen Hits TV. And on Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll showcase that when live from London, we'll have the chief executive officer of this new venture, Rose Atkins-Hulse. And then, last Friday, while a lot of us were celebrating Good Friday, a new venture called Starport raised $40 million through blockchain, cryptocurrency, and maybe NFTs to fund new film and new television programming, and they may be triggering a big new jump and increase in using blockchain and cryptocurrency for funding entertainment of all kinds. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, in our second half hour, we'll have two of the key people behind the project in an Internet Radio exclusive interview. You'll meet Carrie Gernot, formerly of Walden Media, now with a company called Immersive Artistry, and James Wine is the co-founder of Evo Group, which did all the financing involved in putting Starport together. I think you'll find this one very unique project, and it could be a groundbreaker for the whole blockchain cryptocurrency industry when it comes to television and entertainment. So be sure to join us Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here for all that and more on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. You mentioned, Shannon, at the top that this was a three-year journey for you. How did the journey begin? When did it finally get going?
It was, we had a meeting, a couple of meetings with Brian Scarry. We sat down and said, what do we want to portray? What do we want to capture? And how can we do this? You know, what could be our strategy of capturing this? Because, you know, the best places to, let me say, with wildlife filmmaking, we are completely at the mercy of the animals. If they're not choosing to be there, then we can't do anything about it. We can't set it up. We can't stage it. And it's particularly true with any whale, you know. So we went through and set up a schedule that we knew we could go, you know, across the globe and film as many opportunities as possible using all of our resources. So we sat down, said, okay, Brian, where are you going? Okay, where can we go? What can we do? Who are the best people we can put on this, and what type of technology can we use? And then it started off with a small shoot off Sitka, Alaska, to film some humpback whales, and we were off and running at that point. And by the end, we ended up six continents we ended up filming on. So we covered most of the globe.
And along the way, Shannon, a very famous person in the world of movie entertainment joined the ride. I'm talking about James Cameron, the director of Titanic and the Avatar films.
Yes, he did. Yeah. James Cameron is, you know, he's a legend. He is one of the greatest directors of the 20th and 21st century, and he's also, you know, a passionate ocean conservationist and an explorer in his own right, and is been affiliated with National Geographic for years. And he heard about our project, and we sent him some of the footage that we've been working on. He said, I really want to be a part of this. This is something that is near and dear to his heart. And, you know, he knows that if we can connect to the animals and the creatures that live in the ocean emotionally, if we can connect to them through our own humanity to them, then that's going to help preserve the ocean. That's going to help, save these creatures. So he came on board, and it was just a privilege. He is just a creative mastermind, and really elevated our program in a way that we're incredibly thankful of having that opportunity.
And this was a very rare experience for you to have him on, because as you mentioned, he rarely does he doesn't do TV projects at all. It's really amazing to me that for all that he's done, he's never done a scripted TV series, and it's one of the few times he's done an unscripted series with anybody.
Yeah, no, he is, as we all know, you know, from news updates, you know, he is busy working on the future Avatar films, but, you know, he heard about this, you know, and said, you know, let me take a look at this, and we sent him some footage, and National Geographic was like, you know, this would be great to have your impact on. And he came on board, and he helped us with the time that he had. And it really, again, he is, in terms of the work that he does, his commitment to conservation and the oceans and what we can do to do that is just as great as his artistic merit. I mean, so it really was a unique thing that he came on board, and he's very proud of the work, and it's been wonderful.
So to what ends of the earth did you and your crews have to go to find these whales? Because as you know, when we talk with a lot of nature filmmakers over the course of our 14 years on the air, the subject always comes up, and you said it earlier, you know, you can't direct Mother Nature. You got to go with that flow. So how do you, where did you have to travel to find the whales you wanted to find?
Well, you know, the first thing is that we have excellent relationships with scientists and researchers around the world. And who knows better the movements of these creatures than the people who dedicate their lives, you know, studying them. So the first thing we did is we reached out to many of these people and said, you know, here, let us work together. You know where the whales are. We're going to want to film them and kind of see them in their habitat. And we'll help you with data. We'll help you with research to kind of, you know, help with what you're looking for. So first step was collaborating with them. And then it's like, okay, let's look and let's see where the best place is going to be. So, you know, we know that humpback whales gather every summer in Alaska to do feeding there. So, we took a good estimate, took a good timing based on what the researchers knew and said, we're going to take a risk and go out during this time. The same thing in Sri Lanka, the same thing in New Zealand, all across. So, you know, sometimes it was missed, but we were really lucky. I think that, you know, I don't know if the whales knew what we were doing and wanted to kind of do some personal promos for themselves or something, but we ended up being very, very lucky in that we were able to locate these whale pods and spend a lot of time filming them. So, and I've done wildlife now for over 20 years, and I know the hiccups and hurdles that we face, and this thing went off very, very cleanly. So, I don't know who to thank. I should thank the whale. Yeah, they were just incredibly cooperative.
Was there any technology breakthroughs, either in video or audio or cameras, that you used for the first time in preparing this series?
Yeah, we used a lot of the latest cameras that are used for underneath, particularly RED cameras, so we could capture, you know, in slow-mo, capture frame, have a higher frame rate. We also, you know, one thing that we wanted to do is we don't want to really disturb the whales. We want to make sure that we're seeing them as natural as possible. So we did rig a drone that flew over them and dropped a GoPro in the water. So it was kind of a homemade constructed drone that would go lightly under the water so we could get close and see the whales as they're moving. So a lot of the technology we did was just kind of old-fashioned know-how, kind of let's put things together so we can make it work, as well as some of the top cameras. Audio, not so much, because there's only so much we can do for underwater, you know, as well as we do have incredible recordings of the humpback whales as they sing their song, and some of the chirping done by the belugas. But I will say that the music that was composed for the series, our composer used a lot of natural ocean sounds and whale sounds in her compositions, and to give it a very, like you're in the water feel. So it feels very organic to the entire scene that you're experiencing.
Who composed the music, Shannon?
Raphael Rayford did. She's amazing. She drew lots of inspiration from the 1980s or 90s film, The Big Blue. It's the first time we've worked with her. It's not going to be the last.
It's very interesting to see now how we're seeing more female composers in all aspects of television, whether it's documentary work, whether it's episodic TV, and we have a very interesting announcement we're going to make shortly about a female composer who will be on our show a week from today, whose work was on earlier this week. I'll tell you more about that in a bit. It's really been a breakthrough the last decade or so to see these female composers really do their work for television and come up with some really amazing sounds.
It's fantastic, and her work. I'm sorry, her name's Raphael Thibault. I got it confused with another contributor. I apologize, but you know the composers are out there, and a lot of it is just being given the opportunity. Is you know, opening the doors for incredibly talented people, and you know, we've worked with her. We met her at a conference. We heard some of her work and said, you know, this is someone we really want to collaborate with. So I'm thrilled for these opportunities.
Shannon Malone De Benedictis from Alexandria, Virginia, is our guest this first half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. She's joining us live from Alexandria, Virginia, outside Washington, D.C., and she is the co-executive producer of the new Disney Plus miniseries, Secrets of the Whales. It's a big Earth Day presentation. It premieres on Thursday, August 22nd, actually April 22nd. That's Earth Day 2021. And by the way, Disney Plus is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place. And we will have Shannon for a few more minutes this half hour on our program. If you have a question or comment for her, bring it in, 646 652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Friday on Swabby Televised, we've got a very interesting hour for you. On our first half hour, we'll preview a pair, not one, a pair of new scripted series on BYU TV. They're interrelated. It's a very unusual project called The Parker Andersons and Amelia Parker. And the executive producer for both scripted series, Mark Bishop, will be our opening guest. And then in the second half hour, we will showcase a very hot, up and not just an up-and-coming, but a very hot female composer who is really turning it on big time in television. She is the composer of the music on Riverdale, the popular CW series. She did Blind Spot on NBC for many years, and she is now doing Kung Fu, the new series that started on Wednesday night on the CW, whose executive producer, Christina Kim, was on our program for an interview-exclusive interview this past Monday afternoon. Her name is Sherry Chung, and people know are calling her one of the hot new up-and-coming TV composers. Sherry Chung will join me live next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, along with Mark Bishop from BYU's new scripted series pair, the Parker Andersons and Amelia Parker, which will premiere later this month. Shannon, what was the most exciting part of doing this series?
You know, the most exciting part, other than collaborating with James Cameron and Brian Scarry, is some of the firsts that we were able to capture. You know, it's like I mentioned, I've been doing this for so long, and I've seen so many different wildlife films and different scenes and things. So it takes a lot for my needle to move. But, you know, there are two things that we were able to capture in this. You know, one was we captured in a beluga giving birth, and the baby beluga an hour after it had given birth. And the baby beluga swims right up to our camera, and belugas look like they're smiling. They're smiling. And so here is this incredible baby whale smiling into our camera. And, you know, it just gives you goosebumps. It makes you feel wonderful. And then another scientific first that we were able to film was nobody had really known how sperm whales nurse their young. And while we were filming in the island Dominica, we were able to capture footage of a mother sperm whale nursing her baby. And it's an incredible moment. It's just, again, these are animals that we know and we're familiar with, and yet we had never filmed this before. Nobody had ever filmed this, and we were finally able to capture it. So it was just an exciting moment. And for me, it was like, oh, yes. These are the moments that just make me thankful that I'm in this business.
We talked earlier about James Cameron's contribution, but there's somebody else that we ought to also highlight before we wrap this half hour up, and that is the person who narrates your series.
Yes. So this is the second time I've worked with Sigourney Weaver. Sigourney and I worked together for the U.S. version of Planet Earth, 14 years ago. And when we were thinking about who could narrate the show, you know, the series, we realized, you know, this is a series about emotional. It's very emotional. It's about complex relationships. It's about the love between a mother and a child, and between sisters. And how do we convey this? How do we make sure that those kind of emotional connections come through? And immediately I'm like, Sigourney, be perfect for this. I know she cares about this. She cares about the environment. She cares about the ocean, and she will bring that heart. And, you know, we talked to her, and she was like, absolutely, you know, sign me on, because she knows how important these familial connections are, and how we need to do what we can to preserve these species as well as our planet. And, you know, there are moments in there that are very emotional moments, and her ability to convey that emotion, it just gives you chills. And so it was a great reunion for me to work with her again, and she just elevated the content.
So as we mentioned earlier, you're involved with your own production company, Red Rock Films. What's next for you and them?
Thank you. We are in the finalizing a new series that will be coming out on Netflix in the middle of in June or July. We also have a new series that's going to be debuting on Nat Geo Wild called Shark Attack Files. about, obviously, it's about sharks, as well as another Shark Week special and a Shark Fest special. So, you know, we're known for being able to get the action and get the footage that's necessary in the on the water and in the water. So we have a lot of stuff that's coming up with that.
By the way, how do you figure, like, which shows go where? Like, this show goes Netflix. This show goes Discovery Plus or Discovery Channel. Or this show goes Nat Geo. This show goes Disney Plus. How do you, you know, where in the process do you figure which shows go where?
Well, you know, this series, Secrets of the Whales, is really from start to finish is a collaboration between the executives of National Geographic, the National Geographic Society, Brian Scarry, and Red Rock. So, you know, that started very organically inside, you know, the National Geographic building. You know, other projects, you look and see what their audience is, what they're interested in. You know, when you shape different wildlife content, you know kind of what their audience is seeking. And then you go for there. So just like any other genre, you know what those viewers are looking for. Just with wildlife, it's how you kind of present that wildlife. But we're very lucky in that we have stuff that is very dynamic for Discovery and very action packed, and then we have stuff that's a little bit more quirky and relatable and co-viewing for Netflix. So we kind of hit the full spectrum when it comes to wildlife filmmaking.
And just ahead, it's Secrets of the Whales, the Disney Plus presentation produced in association with National Geographic and James Cameron and Red Rock Films. It's the Big Earth Day presentation for that service, available on smart TV sets and smart devices, and it premieres on Earth Day, Thursday, April 22nd. And if you want to know more about Disney Plus and about the program, here's where you go online, www.disneyplus.com. It's www.disneyplus.com. Secrets of the Whales, narrated by Sigourney Weaver, Thursday, April 22nd, Earth Day 2021, on Disney Plus. Shannon Malone de Benedictis, the co-executive producer of the series, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on making this happen. Good luck on the series, plus all the other projects you've got coming from Red Rock Films. We'd love to have you back on and talk about it. It's been a pleasure.
Really, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very, very welcome, Shannon. Take care. All the greatest to you and your team, and have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Shannon Miller DeBenedictis joining us live from Alexandria, Virginia, outside Washington, D.C. More tomorrow will be televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. What if, maybe whether you knew it or not, that two books were written about you? What about your life as you know it? And what if your life was totally different if you made the right choice? Well, that's the subject of a new audiobook called The Midnight Library by Matt Haig, about a woman who goes into such a library and finds those two books and wonders, which way should my life go from it? It's a very unique premise, and you can check it out right now with a trial run at Audible.com. You know, Audible.com, in case you don't know, is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, etc. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, a one-month trial to hear the audiobook, also health wellness information while it lasts, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Or if you didn't know, if you're already an Amazon Prime member, got great news for you. Two audiobooks you can choose for the trial of one. And one of those audiobooks could come from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio presentations and podcasts, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, as well as great one-woman and one-man performances. That's all available to you with a trial run with Audible.com. So how about making today or this weekend the time that you find out how Audible.com can transform the way you or someone you love can hear the world. Makes a great gift for you or somebody you love any time of the year. And all you got to do to find out all about it is go to audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up in our next half hour, our classic trivia question of the week. We have three prizes in store for you if you got the correct answer. Also, I'll have some final thoughts about Wynonna Earp, which is going to its final episode tonight on Sci-Fi. But first, there's a new Latin music and pop culture channel in town available on smart TV sets and smart devices. It's called Latino Music. It's from an organization that's been around for quite a while in the digital area called MeToo. The president of MeToo, Stephen Brooks, joins me live from L.A. coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Get the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com Spreaker.com, and Tune.com, together reaching nearly 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR is your home for The Haunting Hour. If you love chills, if you love thrills, how about checking out The Haunting Hour tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at where else? YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised. Well, for those who are just joining us at the bottom of the hour for TWBT, Simon Avon with you live from New York, 56 degrees at the top of the hour. Hope you're all getting ready for a terrific weekend with the Masters Golf Tournament going on. By the way, last I heard, Justin Rose is still leading at 7 under par. Other people are starting to close the gap. And, of course, everybody is getting ready for the big moving day, Saturday and Sunday. Don't forget, the Masters is on ESPN tonight. If you missed any part of it now, there will be a replay at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Also, be some of the whole some of the featured pairings will be on ESPN+. And don't forget, a recap tonight, 11:45 on your local CBS station. And CBS covers the Masters this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, the final two rounds. If you have a question or comment for our next guest coming up, well, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. And coming up before the top of the hour, our Classic TV Question of the Week, we have three prizes in play, two of them musical, and they can be yours if you come through with the correct answer. There seems to be a new run to get Latin music or Latin pop culture or Latin channels on the air, particularly with smart TV sets and smart devices. A couple months ago, we introduced you to a Latin music performance channel that starred on Dish Latino. Today, we have another service for you. It's called Latido Music. It's running on Roku, the Roku channel, and other smart TV sets and devices. And it comes from a longtime player in the world of digital when it comes to programming aimed at the Latino marketplace and the rest of us called MeToo. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an interradio exclusive, the president of MeToo, Stephen Brooks. Stephen, happy to have you with us.
Thank you, Simon. It's a pleasure to be here.
Before we get to this new service, catch us up on what's been going on with MeToo. It's been quite a while since we've heard about what is going on with your venture.
Sure. So MeToo is about 8 years old, and it has taken a number of different forms. It started out, frankly, as a production house representing Latino-based, U.S. Latino-based stories in mass media, and so it produced content for the Discovery Channel, for Disney, and for Univision. It has morphed over time into what now is the equivalent of an Hispanic-focused BuzzFeed with some additional pieces to it. We create a lot of original content, short-form series that highlight the everyday stories of U.S. Latinos living in the United States. It's, you know, a community of well over 40 million people in the Gen Z and millennial generations, most of them born in the United States, and living what we call a 200% existence, where they're culturally 100% self-identifying as Latinos, but they grew up in the United States with all of the mainstream cultural cues. And so it's a very unique existence and, you know, a generation that's really taking its place in the fabric of the United States. It's a really, really exciting time. So MeToo now is, you know, we're a bit of everything, but primarily trying to amplify the voices of everyday U.S. Latinos.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the focus in terms of television has been Spanish-language services like Univision, Telemundo, Azteca America, et cetera, which run on broadcast and on cable and in some cases multicast. But it looks like lately, in the last year or so, we've started to see this effort to create a whole lineup of both English and Spanish-language and bilingual services on smart TV sets and smart devices. How long have MeToo looked at doing a service like Latido Music?
Well, frankly, you know, MeToo has always published in English because the largest generations of Latinos in the United States actually grew up speaking English, and English is their dominant kind of day in, day out language. They consume some media, particularly music, in Spanish, but English is really kind of the co-equal, if not a dominant native language for them. So MeToo on the digital side has always focused on English as a primary language. Getting content in large enough quantities to actually stage a television channel You know, that's another matter, and it actually takes quite a bit of time to do that. So the priors have always been focusing on Spanish. It's really only been recently that we or any other Hispanic targeting media company has come around to creating content in English. We're happy to say that we've got a good mix of both on Latino music.
So let's talk about Latino. First of all, what's the format like? And secondly, it's been around now for at least a couple of weeks, if not months. What's been what is the format like? And then what's the reaction to it so far?
So if anybody was around in the 1980s and early 1990s to watch MTV, it's very, very similar to that. Frankly, that's a formula that worked really, really well at the time that it was launched. So it's very heavy on music videos, introducing new artists, new genres, also providing the hits of the mainstream pop and reggaeton artists. But we supplement that with a lot of additional original programming centered around music. So it's artist interviews, news, music news, documentaries, behind the scenes type of content. We're trying to hit the right balance between giving fans of music the familiar, but also giving them a different perspective on what it is. So so think of it in terms of an early 90s era MTV. That's basically what we're going for.
Mm-hmm. What is the reaction so far from the Latin music community? Are you able to get the Latin videos, get them produced? If they don't have them, what kind of cooperation are you getting from the key artists, as well as from talent that sees your service as a way to break in?
That's actually been the most positive reception that that we've had. You know, it's not easy breaking into a media landscape with a new name. We have been pleasantly surprised with how eager the Latin music community, all the way from the major labels down to individual artists, well-established artists that are trying to break in, how much they've responded to our entering into the space. And I think it's a testament to the fact that they're really still, despite the fact that, you know, hits are charting in the top 40, and Bad Bunny is an internationally well-known artist, and Despacito, you know, broke some ground a few years ago, that it's still an underserved community. We're still not really representing it in the same numbers that that folks are listening to it day in and day out, streaming the music. So so there's a hunger. There's a hunger for more opportunities to be represented on the channel. I think we provide that.
Bad Bunny, by the way, appears to be breaking loose not only as a musical star, but also as a wrestling star with the WWE. You've seen him on different things. I think he will be part of WrestleMania coming up this weekend, and who knows what's in his future.
He's an exceptional talent, I have to tell you. He has really captivated the attention, and it's kind of funny too, because he's somewhat of a reluctant star. It's fairly well known that somewhat of a quiet person, remains to himself, but the guy cannot, he can't take a bad step. He's just so talented and so charismatic.
We're speaking with Stephen Brooks. He is the president of MeToo, the company behind one of the newest services in the world of Latin or Latino programming. It's called Latino Music. It's available on Roku, the Roku channel, other smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And stay with us, because we'll have more to say about the channel, where it's going, and whether or not MeToo may be doing more channels in the world of television as time goes on. And Stephen is with us this half hour on Smart Be Televised, live from Los Angeles. Simon App, I'm with you live from the other side of the U.S. of A., namely New York, 56 degrees, top of the hour. Your question or comment for our guest? Don't be shy. Put the fingers in motion and make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon App 04 by name. Again, Monday on Smart Be Televised, we'll go live to London and talk to the chief executive officer of a new service called Screen Hits TV that says that they can take your favorite shows, whether they're on Netflix, Hulu, Disney+, Latino Music, Amazon, et cetera, playing wherever they are on smart TV sets and devices, and bring them all into one service just for you. The person behind it is Chief Executive Officer Rose Atkins-Hull. She will be live with us from London our first half hour. And then we will talk to the folks behind the brand-new finance venture StarPost, which recently raised $40 million through blockchain and cryptocurrency, and maybe even NFTs, to get new TV and other entertainment projects off the ground. You will meet two of the key people behind the service, Carrie Granat Foley of World and Media, and James Wines from Devo Group, one of the two companies, the other being Immersive Artistry, that Gary's company that's putting it together. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Stephen, what else is on the service beside music videos or music performances?
So we're supplementing the music videos with original programming that ranges from, say, 5-minute interstitial type, long-form interviews to full hour and two-hour documentaries about well-established artists, the history of Latin music, and so forth. So it's kind of what you might call a smorgasbord of Latin music experience. I do want to just orient folks who might be listening. This is a full-on 24/7 experience. It's not video on demand. There is a video on demand experience at certain platforms, but this is a linear experience. So if you tune in 3 minutes past the hour, you will see 3 minutes into whatever the program is. And that's kind of important because while the younger demographic in the U.S. has certainly either cut cords or, frankly, never connected them, the viewing experience, the lean-back experience, really is something that we're trained to almost from birth. And so we provide that. It's not playlists. It's not hunt and peck. It is a curated experience that goes in between music videos, and in between two music videos, it might be an interview about the specific artist that's being featured, or the specific genre, or perhaps even the part of the country where that music is coming from. So it's a 24/7 experience, and it's highly curated. Something that we as people who have a great deal of passion for Latin music take a great deal of pride in.
How are you doing in getting this service available across the country? I mentioned Roku and the Roku channel. What other smart TV sets and devices can you find your service on?
Sure. So Samsung smart TVs, I think dating back to at least the 2015 model, maybe the 2014 model, there's quite a few of those, and that's a major platform for us. We're on the Xumo, X-U-M-O, Xumo On Now platform. We're on Sling and Vizio watch-free experience. We have iOS and Android apps that are Latido Music. You can download those for free and watch for free. And we're on Plex and the Roku channel. And, of course, we're available on all of the streaming boxes. That would be Apple TV, Fire TV, Android TV, and Roku.
Mm-hmm. Are there any surprising things you're learning about the musical tastes of your audience, that there's a genre that maybe you thought might not be compared to others, like a reggaeton or regional Mexican or whatever, be in with your audience that there really is? And there's some surprise in terms, as I said, of musical taste, let's say, of a new, let's say, category on the rise.
Ah, that's an excellent question. So surprising, maybe not. I think a lot of things are confirming what we recognized might be true, and now the data sits behind it. There is a difference, and this is important for anybody who's not as steeped into Latin culture in the United States, but there's a regional difference between Latinos who live in Texas and New Mexico and Nevada and California, and those who live in New York and Florida and Atlanta and Chicago, which is to say that the East Coast Latinos not exclusively, but are higher, more highly represented by, you know, origin, countries of origin, from the Caribbean, from South America, and Mexico and Central America represent a higher proportion of Latinos in, I guess we'll say, west of the Mississippi. What we found is that the interest, the regional interest in those rhythm-based Caribbean genres is absolutely more highly represented on the East Coast than it is on the West Coast, and consequently, the Mexican regional is more interesting on the West Coast. So we adjust our programming accordingly. You know, we're finding that a lot of the electronic dance music that's emerging from Latin America is catching on across the board. So there's some exciting, we'll call it genre bending or genre fusing that's happening in the rhythm genres plus EDM. That's pretty exciting. And then rock, indie rock is popular everywhere. So we get that.
Are there any plans to try to showcase acts, individual or group acts that are U.S. based? Give them sort of a like American Idol type showcase or something like a special music video of the week kind of thing.
Yes, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, a lot of Latin artists are U.S. born and raised. A substantial number are from here in California or in Florida or New York. So that's already a part of what we do, but we want to dive much more deeply into that because Me Too in general and Latino music, you know, in specific, really wants to highlight the stories of artists as people and less as celebrities. I think there's a lot of coverage of the celebrity aspect of musicians, artists, you know, talented people, and that's fine. Our angle is really to show that these folks have lives and struggles just like you and I do, and so being able to follow them around as they, you know, as they make their music and try to promote it and go on tour and so forth, as tours pick up, you know, toward the back half of this year and next year, fingers crossed on that. Those are the stories we want to be telling. And so we absolutely have plans to expand the type of coverage that we have to just peel the curtain back and show, you know, show these folks as real people just like you and me.
Mm-hmm. Me Too President Stephen Brooks, he is our guest this half hour on Smarty Televised on this Friday afternoon. Delighted to have you with us on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune and Radio. Stephen is based in Los Angeles, and Me Too is the folks behind Latino Music, which is running on many smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place. And Stephen, as I said, is live from L.A. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. And if your question or comment remaining moments with Stephen, make the call and go, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. And don't forget, coming up later before the top of the hour, our classic trivia question of the week, and some closing thoughts about a great run on Sci-Fi Wynonna Earp that ends tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern at Pacific Time. And don't forget, 1 week from today on Smarty Televised, we'll have Mark Bishop. He's the executive producer of BYU TV's new pair of scripted TV series. They're interrelated, the Parker Andersons and Amelia Parker. And hot TV composer Sherry Chung of Kung Fu, Riverdale, and Blindspot fame. They'll both be with us a week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on the Smarty Televised. And we may have another episode coming your way next week as well. We'll see if we do get it and tell you about if we do on Monday's program. So don't you dare miss it. Stephen, is your service ad support? And if so, what's the early ad response?
Yeah, so it's fully ad supported. And, you know, we are getting through a mixture of direct and programmatic sources, we're getting you know, the quality of advertisers that you could only hope to secure at this early stage of the game. So every major category, you know, the category leaders, whether that's you know, whether that's entertainment or technology or my goodness, retail, consumer packaged goods, we're pretty successful in filling our ad spots. We've got I mean, this gets into the technical side of things, but we're generally speaking in the 80 to 90% fill there, which is you know, up toward the top 10% of channels in our range. So which, you know, it's fantastic. It's good to see that that what we're doing is not only appealing to consumers but to advertisers as well. So that's, you know, it's a good tailwind for us as we, you know, as we look to grow.
Do you see Latino Music as the beginning of a set of channels that MeToo will launch? Is that the game plan ultimately, to have like a group of these channels aimed English language at Gen X Latinos and the rest of us too?
Yes, I mean, I can't say yes quickly enough to that. We actually have another channel that's incubating right now. It's available in a VOD format, and that's just simply called MeToo TV. So this is all of the collected works of MeToo in short form, as well as several of our collaborators on the other on the outside. And other independent Latino content creators, filmmakers, and so forth. So that's going to be our next launch, 24/7 channel that really just reflects the full 360-degree experience of U.S. Latinos. And you would call it a lifestyle channel. It's going to include everything from scripted to unscripted comedies, dramas, documentaries, short form, long form. It's everything. So that is actually available right now on MeToo TV. TV.MeTooNetwork.com. And there's also an iOS and an Android app for MeToo TV. We will be launching a linear channel in the fourth quarter of this year.
And with both networks, are you looking at down the road possibly of interactivity, where let's say you could do shows where the viewers at home using the remote control or their voice through artificial intelligence services like Siri and Alexa and Google Assistant, using those services in their smart TV Sarah device to control the content, order products and services, things like that?
So the ordering of products and services is definitely something that we would want to integrate. MeToo has an e-commerce division called MeToo Shop, and so that's actually it's great. It's a great question. That is on our roadmap. That won't happen at launch, but having the capabilities for interactive commerce, actually having a storefront, and the interactive platforms that we utilize to distribute the channel, makes that possible, right? So it just at that point becomes a matter of creating content where that's a natural fit rather than a strange bolt-on. But we're ideating on program formats where that makes a lot of sense. And so I think you'll see those shortly after launch.
Again, the name of the service that's currently running on smart TV sets and smart devices, music-oriented, it's called Latido Music, L-A-T-I-D-O. And if you want to see it online and know more about the service, here's where you go, latidomusic.com. It's L-A-T-I-D-O-music.com. Or you can go to wearemetoo.tv.com. That's wearemetoo.com, wearemetoo.com. And again, if you want to get a sneak peek of the second, looks like, linear service coming up this fall, tvmedianetwork.com, tvmedianetwork.com. All from MeToo, the same organization. Stephen Brooks, the president of MeToo, thank you so much for coming aboard. It's been a pleasure to have you. Congratulations on getting Latido off the ground. And we would love to have you back this fall when the second service with scripted and unscripted programming alike is ready to break loose on smart TV sets and devices. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Pleasure is all mine.
Same here, Stephen. Have a wonderful weekend, you and your crew. Take care.
Thank you.
Stephen Brooks from MeToo joining us live from Los Angeles. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. But first, with the correct answer, you get the brand new book, Enough About Me, by MSNBC anchor person Richard Lee. Also, Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace soundtrack by the Oscar winner himself, John Williams. And Wife of Jean, Carnival Volume 2, Memoirs of an Immigrant. Here's the question. Name the actors playing Law & Order's first pair of policemen when the show started in the early 1990s, the first season. Name the pair, the actors who played Law & Order's first pair of policemen in its first season. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your mailing address. If you first get the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning, and we need to throughout the weekend, at Facebook at Simon Applebaum and at Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. Absolutely. So play, and all the very best. And finally, some final thoughts about a series coming to a close tonight on Sci-Fi. I'm referring to Wynonna Earp, based on the popular IDW comic book. After 4 seasons and 5 years on the air, it is all coming to an end tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on Sci-Fi. A marvelous series. It really broke a lot of doors open, including for its star, Melanie Scafano, who was on our program back in 2016 when the series went into its first season on Sci-Fi. It turned out to be a marvelous adventure, and I'll tell you, getting the 4th season on this year was a miracle, given what happened with the coronavirus pandemic and also IDW's funding problems. But they did, and I know there's still an effort trying to get a 5th season going, but no matter what, congratulations to Melanie, the executive producer Emily Andrus, and everybody involved for having Wynonna make Friday nights on Sci-Fi a lot of fun and a spectacular, effort in the world of science fiction. So if you want to catch the final episode of Wynonna Earp, and I promise you it'll be a good one, and it'll satisfy a lot of fans, it's tonight at 10 p.m. Pacific time on Sci-Fi. For more details, sci-fi.com. Thanks to both of our guests being with us today, and all of you for tuning in. Don't forget, coming up on Monday, we'll have Rose Adkins-Hulse from Screen It TV. She's the Chief Executive Officer at Service Live from London, and from the new financing venture, Starport, Carrie Granat and James Wine. And a week from today, from the new BYU TV series, The Parker Andersons and Amelia Parker, executive producer Mark Bishop, Kung Fu composer Sherry Chung. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, well, check us out throughout the weekend at blogtalkradio.com/televised, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And if you want to be in touch with all of our episodes already this month and earlier in 2021, go to our podcast. They're available on iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker.com, TuneIn.com, IRRadio.com for their podcast network, Verbal, and Amazon Music. What do you think about our show today? What's your thoughts about where TV's at and where it's going? Let us know, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on LinkedIn and Twitter. We love hearing from you, and we do respond because we like to say around here, what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants. I would say those of Blog Talk Radio and other streamers in this program. Our production associate at BTR is Madeline. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, Jay Sonnenberg is head of content, and the co-founders of this enterprise, Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two and much more, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the Masters, wherever sports are coming your way. We'll be back with you on Monday. 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tuner Radio, Verbal, Amazon Music, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to now and then, make it safe, make it great. And yes, I am getting the vaccine from Johnson & Johnson Sunday at Javits Center. So we're doing our bit to get this pandemic licked now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.